That's right.
Said he would come down with a new style. He said, my break free from reality with me this time around. Well, you can see that there ain't nothing but you and me, and we
and
know
your mom.
It's been turtles all the way down.
And that you're not real.
All the way down.
I'm not real. Time.
You're really unreal.
Time's not a thing.
By that I mean you don't exist.
And God.
I don't either.
Not a thing, but you're also God. It's complicated. We should probably start the show.
Hey, ladies, gentlemen, non-binary folk. I am Seamus Harvey. You are back again at the Sacred Shame. Going into part two of my methodically laid out reasoning for why there really can't be any such thing as a good police. As hard as that is for a lot of you to grasp. But I believe it's true. And if you just got this episode, go back and listen to the last one. This is episode 32. Go listen to 31. Because you're going to want all of that backstory for the rest of this episode to really make any sense. I talk about the nature of reality on this show. Most of what I'm known for is saying things like, you are not real. I am not real. But that's only half of what I say. I say that we are these cosmic superpositions. That you are the divine creator of the universe. That you are God. That all of this that you're experiencing, and it's all for you. Because I am you, and you are me, and there's no them, there's just us. And while we are this divine, magical energy that encompasses everything that could possibly ever exist, we are also these mortals stuck here in the third dimension dealing with all of this mortal third dimension ass bullshit. And that both halves of that superposition are equally as important. So everything is irrelevant. And everything is actually the most irrelevant thing that you could possibly ever do. And everything is actually the most important thing that you will ever experience at the same time. So today's episode is definitely more of the survival guide to your time here in the third dimension. And so we're going to get back with the second half of why there's no such thing as a good police right after this commercial break. Just a quick little commercial, and then no more interruptions for the rest of the episode. Thanks for being back here on The Sacred Shame. I'm Seamus Harvey. Hey everyone, Seamus Harvey here. Super excited to talk about my new sponsor, Ama Healing, amahealing.co. They are manufacturers and purveyors of fine hemp extracts, CBD products, phytocannabinoids, all of the good health things to get your body in the best shape possible from a mentality and focus standpoint. And I use these fuckers every day. Literally, their CBD extract and their Elevate Elixir, I credit with basically keeping me alive. If you're a listener to the show, you'll know that I've been dealing with cancer for the last 6 months or so, and just from the cancer and the inflammation and the treatment for the cancer, I feel foggy in the brain a lot of the time, and the products from AmaHealing.co specifically the CBD oil, hemp extract, and the Elevate Elixir are really doing so much to keep me from being foggy and just feeling like blah. And the team is amazing. Matt, Ted, all the guys and gals and peoples at amahealing.co. Love you guys so much. Go to amahealing, amahealing.co. Use the code BUCKCANCER and maybe get a little discount from your boy Seamus Harvey. Again, that's amahealing, amahealing.co. I am Seamus Harvey. So where does that put us so far? So here's what I'm asserting. I'm asserting that a few apples spoil the bunch. A few bad apples spoil the bunch. And there's always going to be bad apples. And there's always going to be bad apples because the nature of police work, the power trip that comes with the badge and the uniform, is going to always attract people that are there because they want to lord power over other people. And that those people are going to be predisposed to be even worse to portions of our population that have historic prejudice against them. Which means people of color are going to always have a bad time with the police. This is a universal concept. It doesn't matter what socioeconomic status that you are in as a person of color. All of my friends that are brown or black, when they're driving and a police officer pulls behind them, they panic. At the very least, their anxiety level goes up because they know that there's an inherent risk there that comes from those two factors: historic prejudice against those racial profiles and historic abuse of police being predisposed to abuse their power. So there's that. There's the assertion I'm making there, that police are going to want to, that there's always going to be police that are drawn to the nature of police work to abuse their power, and that they're going to abuse that power in an outsized portion against populations, portions of our population that have standing prejudices. So this would also, this also holds true for sex workers, the homeless. It's all this coming to mind right now, but I'm sure there's tons of them I'm missing. I've been up all night. So we've got that. Abuse of power. More abuse of power against these portions of the population that are holding these prejudices for myriad of terrible reasons. So then we have the good actors, the people with good intentions, the folks that legitimately join the police force because they want to help, they want to stop the bad guys, they want to protect and serve. But now they've got this problem that they are becoming part of this fraternity that is not an experiment. It's not in a test tube. It's old constabulary going back hundreds of years in this country. And it's messy because calling out someone for doing wrong, you don't just excise that person. That person is an island, because really none of us are. So that person's losing their job, their income. Maybe they have a family. So now that family is in need. It's a domino effect. And so then they get into a, well, who do I choose to protect? Do I choose to do what I said that I was going to do and uphold these laws? Because I see my fellow police officers abusing their authority. Or do I, shut the fuck up? Because these are my brothers and they're out there and they're protecting me. And if I speak up, maybe they won't protect me. Because these are all people trained to use deadly force. And if you get in a firefight and someone's supposed to have your back and they don't, well, that could be potentially bad for you, right? So you've taken these incentives and you fucked them all up across the board. And you've made it exceedingly difficult for you to ever actually have a moral, functioning police force. From just these couple of concepts that I brought out here tonight, and these are broad strokes, people. There's a ton of research on this stuff. And this talk, what I'm doing right now, this is gasoline. Because most people don't want to hear this. Most people can't fathom that argument that policing by its nature is bad. That by allowing it to continue, by allowing these police forces to get stronger, to militarize. You know, Andy Griffith, Mayberry PD, popular sitcom in the 50s and 60s. Well, Andy and Barney didn't have machine guns or bulletproof vests, tanks, tear gas grenades. So the stakes are a little different now. And that escalation's by design. By setting up this precedent of having a subsection of the population that is given outsized authority over a large portion of the population, that's really the only way to go. Is for that portion that has authority to keep hoarding it, to keep taking more and more, to keep fortifying that. It's where the police unions come in. They're there to protect, to make sure that they're protecting all of just the police force. And there's really no way to reverse that process. There's really no way to fix that. The only thing you could really do is dissolve it, is to get rid of it in its entirety. And that brings on a whole different set of problems. And these are the ones that you hear get thrown around a lot, like, well, you don't like us until you need us. Until you're getting raped or you're getting murdered. Someone's breaking into your house. Well, there's a bunch of flaws with that argument. Is that one, in most of those cases, the police in the situation are an after-action, responsive force. There's a guy in your house and he's going to murder you? Calling the police is going to do very, very little to stop that. If you're being raped, there's very, very little chance that the police is actually going to step in and do something about that while it's going on. Without draconian 1984 camera in every house panopticon situations, there's a very slim chance that they're actually preventing very much. Now, as a show of force, in some places, absolutely. The police being present is a deterrent. Police at public events, concerts, funerals, parades. Their presence there, it definitely does deter people from doing stupid shit. But the thing that people forget is that they're not the only deterrent that exists. In fact, there are more effective deterrents. Private security across the board is more effective and more efficient than policing. Because if you work for a private corporation and you fuck up, you get fucking fired. If your community, if your neighborhood hires a private security force to patrol, to make sure people aren't casing the neighborhood and breaking in, and people do case the neighborhood and break in, well, that security company will lose its contract. And that's money. People like money. They like keeping it. And there's no union rep that'll step in to say, hey, give them the benefit. Look, all in the line of duty. There's a much higher level of professionalism and effectiveness that comes out of a private security force. Now, we laugh at mall cops, Paul Blart. But the truth is that they are actually a very effective measure. If you want to take that example to a very hyperbolic level, in the very sophisticated high-end military operations, we don't even rely on our military anymore. We hire security contractors, people that are specialized in that specific type of mission. Because the hard thing for a lot of people to grasp is that the government doesn't actually do anything well. Anything. And that's a hard thing to grasp. Because it comes down to the same thing, this thing that you've been told since you were born, that they're there for the protection of you, that they're there to make you better, the world better. But they're not. There's not one thing, not one thing that the government does, the private sector doesn't do better. Because all of the power, all of the perceived power and influence that the government has, it's not real. It is proxied to them by you. But in most cases, not because you've ever really stopped and thought about it. It's because that's what you were told had to happen. Now, you don't have to think about the whole government like that. There's programs that mean well within the government. There's aims that mean well within the government, sure. So let's table that. Let's table Seamus's anarchist views. And let's keep talking specifically about the police. Now, why does everybody think that we have to have them? Well, I can tell you. Because we always have. Because you've never lived without a police force. So you don't actually know what it would be like without a police force. So, why do you think that you know what it would be like without a police force? Well, that's because you've been hearing a narrative your whole life about how bad things would be if those police officers weren't standing out there in between you and the bad guy. What if the police are the bad guys? There's a really simple litmus test for determining whether something's illegal or not. Is that if it was done by the government, would it then be legal? Because that's really what it boils down to. The police force, it's what protection is in the mafia. It's extortion. And they need you to believe that it would be worse if they weren't there. And if you talk about how you don't want them there, well, they'll probably make it worse. And that's probably my last point on this for the day. Because I've been going on way longer than I normally do, and I could literally talk about these points for hours. But the agent provocateur portion of this conversation is probably the most insidious. Is that, well, if I wasn't here, this would be way worse. Oh, they think that it'll be better? I'll show them how bad it'll be. And all of the cases that we have proof of police acting like this, planting evidence, falsifying testimony, bearing false witness, prove to you how shitty it would be if they weren't there. Well, I got news for you guys, gals, weirdos. None of this is real. None of it. We are all playing a game. It's called the third dimension. And while it's not real, it is very important. Because we are these cosmic superpositions that are both the grand creator, deity, god of everything, and these mortals stuck here in the third dimension at the same time. Both equally as important. Both not existing without the other. So you're down here for some reason. And I don't claim to know. But there's something you're supposed to do. There's something you're supposed to accomplish. We're supposed to accomplish. Maybe a myriad of things. And because we don't want to be bored, we have created this insanely difficult world for us to play this game in. And so this droning hippie bearded spirit dude on the podcast, all that he's talking to you about right now is game strategy for how this side can advance past this insidious obstacle that we all find ourselves with dealing with. And the only real way for us to move past this is for us to truly come to terms with what we believe, what thoughts we put power and intention behind. That is what becomes our reality. When you are a white grad student at Stanford University and you put power and intention behind becoming an authoritative prison guard, you become a shitty authoritative prison guard. It is your thoughts that make that happen. It is your will. It is your intention that make that happen. It is no external anything. There is no external anything. Everything that's ever going to happen to you is all within you. Because you're everything. All of this is connected. All of it. And so we collectively, to move forward here, we have to wake up from the delusion that this is a necessary evil. That we don't even call a necessary evil. We say that it's a good, that it's a net good, and have to understand that it's not. And that the system that we've created is going to systemically, repeatedly keep producing these same results. But not at this level. They're going to continue to escalate as power is consolidated within these police forces, within these police unions. This problem only gets worse. More black men are going to be murdered at a higher rate than ever before if we can't collectively wake the fuck up from this delusion, and we can't take back the power that they only have because we told them it was okay for them to have it. So it's a change of consciousness. It's a change of conscience. But we really have to come to the understanding that there is no such thing as a good police. There's not. Whatever your favorite buddy cop show is, the great guy on there, he is portraying a bad portion of society. Your friend from college who joined the police force is upholding a systemically rotten institution that protects itself instead of our population. That defends each other instead of the most vulnerable members of our society. And you don't need any more examples. You can probably just cite them off of the top of your head. The whole thing has to change. This is not something that gets fixed from within or gets band-aided or legislated into compliance. This is something that we all have to actively participate in dissolving and no longer tolerating as acceptable, let alone valuable. And in doing that, we're all going to have to accept that it's probably going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. Because if enough of us start really believing, really trusting that the police is unnecessary and that we're going to have to figure out a better way, and the police really feel like they might actually go extinct, nothing ever goes willingly into extinction. So you have to accept that too. That this bumpy ride we're on is going to get a lot bumpier if we ever want it to actually smooth out. If we ever want to get to the point where it's not a common thing for police-related murder to happen in this country, we're going to have to realize that this is going to get worse so that it can get better. If any of you actually stuck around and listened to this whole rant, thank you. These are my opinions. Just one cosmic hippie who doesn't even really believe that any of us are real. But I do believe in game theory. And I do believe in doing what we need to do to stop having to watch our neighbors get murdered. So that we can stop having our children fear this public good. So I'm in. I hope you guys are too. This is Seamus Harvey. This is very much sacred shame.